Hello, everybody. This is Terry Latham calling in from Austin, Texas. This is our team call. We do this each and every week, and almost would like to refer to this as our Monday motivation. We got a lot of things that are kicking off, especially this time of year. And this is, I talked to our VP of sales, and I was talking to her, and I said, would you mind coming on to our call tonight and sharing some words of wisdom? And Karen has been very close person for myself to be able to work in close with proximity with the company itself, been a massive help for helping us get to where we are today, and just been, like I said, just absolutely phenomenal when it comes to being a right arm for us when it comes on the company side. And you know, I asked her to come on tonight, share her perspective with where we are. Before we get into that, I'd like for our vice president of sales, Karen Riley, to come on and give a little bit of background what before she came to ASEA, and so y'all get a little bit of understanding as you get to meet her on the road. And also, before we get into this, I want to make sure that everybody gets registered for our regionals across the country. They'll be kicking off in January, running into the first week of February. They will sell out. There's limited space. Make sure you get those. Those are probably the most important thing you can do right now, is to commit to be to those events and driving your teams there as soon as you possibly can. So, Karen, are you with us?
I am. Happy holidays.
You know, it's funny. I come running into our house. I was playing around with my kids, and I was talking to one of our associates, Jim, a second ago, and I'm still trying to catch my breath. We're sitting there wrestling, having fun. I said, hey, guys, I got to stop. I got to go on the conference call. So excuse me, but I'll take a deep breath and hopefully catch it. But thanks for being on the call this this Monday night.
Hey, you're very welcome. Thanks so much for having me. Good evening, everybody, and happy holidays to you. Thanks for joining us tonight. And again, thanks to Terry for inviting me to share a little bit about 2015-2016. But I want to start out by saying how interesting it is when Terry called and invited me on to, you know, he was very specific with his question. He said, are you able to join us tonight and share a little bit about your journey on how you came to be at ASEA? And I absolutely love that word, journey. You know, if somebody had asked me to come on and share my career highlights or my experience, you know, it puts you in a completely different mindset. I want to start by thanking Terry for giving me the opportunity to actually share my journey, because I do think it helps put into perspective why I love ASEA as much as I do, because it has been such a huge answer to the journey I was on when I was looking for what I now call ASEA, right? So I need to take you back real quick to how I even got introduced to network marketing. I was a single mom working as a cosmetologist in a little boutique salon about a block away from a billion-dollar network marketing company. Now, at the time that I worked there, they weren't $1 billion. And we referred to this was the largest building in this little tiny town. And we called it the Tower of Power, okay, because it was 10 stories high and it was all glass. And it was absolutely gorgeous. And it was a huge part of our community. They did a lot with community service. They employed a lot of people. Everybody knew this company for all of the good that they did. But I was from California, and I had just moved to this little town, Provo, Utah. And I had a little two-year-old, and I was single and struggling, to be honest. I had a little bit of a clientele built up, but I was new to the area and I was really, really struggling. And I was working the grind. I was in the salon all the time. I was there from, you know, sun up to sundown and weekends, right? Because working with a client base, particularly in the beauty industry, people, you know, they might only be able to come at 9 or 10 o'clock at night, and that meant food on my table. That meant rent. That meant a lot of things to me at that time. So I had no boundaries, right? I was working way more than my body could handle. I was always tired. I was always unhappy. And I was always hopeless. I always felt like I had nothing to look forward to, right? It was really, really a dark time for me. So I walked down the street one day with my business cards, and I dropped them in the lobby at this particular office building, trying to drum up some new business. dropped a little coupon card down there at their front desk, and sure enough, started getting a little bit of business. And people would come in and then get to know them. You know, if you've ever gotten your hair done or your nails done, you sit and visit. Well, as we were sitting and visiting, one of the things that became very apparent to me very quickly was that everybody that brought in this particular coupon from that particular office always had something positive to say, always had something positive to look forward to. They were engaged in activities that were bringing them joy on a regular basis. They were engaged in a community of people that really had their best interest at heart. And it wasn't very long before I realized that I needed to be part of that. And after even, you know, the year of full-time school and the professional training and the trade school and all that kind of stuff, I went down and applied for a job at this little company at the time, the Tower of Power. Well, I got my first job there, and I was the telephone operator. And I was pretty excited. You know, I got dressed up every day. I went in the, I mean, I was young, too. I was 21 and, you know, went in, and I felt like $1 million, you know, walked into this huge corporate office. And well, I was a lousy telephone operator, because if you've ever had to talk to a telephone operator, your mission with that operator is to tell them who you need to talk to, and their job is to get you to that person. And sadly, I was lousy at that, because I would just I was so interested in understanding why they were calling in and why they wanted to talk to that particular person and how they were doing what they were doing. Right, this is my first introduction to network marketing, and everybody that called the telephone operator team was happy. They were excited. They were saying please. They were saying thank you. They were saying have a great day. They were engaging in conversation, so I was a lousy telephone operator. Well, the company recognized that being a lousy telephone operator meant that I was lousy at that job, but I might be really great in one of their associate services teams. So one thing led to another, and I ended up spending an incredible 6 years at that company. Watching it grow, watching it develop. And as I watched that company grow and develop, I was given opportunities to grow and develop. And it was at that point that I absolutely fell in love with what this industry offers. Because as we have now come to know it here at ASEA, the believe, belong, and become factor is so true in network marketing. And when you can align yourself with a company that does it well, it's like angels singing, for me at least. So I spent 6 years working at that company. I did everything from telephone operation to front desk to tour guide to convention staff, working into associate support. I actually started their very first regional teams for specialized account management services. Worked closely with their international teams for expansions, worked with their recognition departments. All of my focus has been spent working in the associate facing teams. After that experience, I had some things that changed in my life and I moved out of the area, but I quickly found another network marketing company. And by quickly, I mean it was in a couple of years. I quickly found another network marketing company after I realized that when I moved from the area and got involved in a real estate development company, we were doing custom homes, we were doing golf courses, we were doing shopping centers. And look, there's particularly in this time in the state of Utah, it was one of the fastest growing construction areas in the country. We could not keep up with things. And the money was, I mean, like everything in that time, everything was just free-flowing, right? Well, an interesting thing happened for me. I wasn't involved with people that had my best interest at heart. I wasn't involved with a community of people that I felt like I could excel with and because of, right? I didn't feel like I had the team in that kind of an industry, at least for me and my experience and where I was. It was really every man for himself. It was who could do the job the fastest for the cheapest amount of money, turn around, make the most profit. It was, you know, I mean, you had ridiculous these deadlines that were just make or break with millions of dollars on the line, particularly with shopping centers. There was no equitable treatment. Some people that got in early got, you know, one deal. Some people that came in the middle of the process got one deal. Some people that came in at the end of the process got another deal. And it became very difficult for me to feel like I could align my efforts and my sense of service to that industry. So I quickly found another network marketing company. But the interesting thing about this company is they grew so quickly. When I joined the next network marketing company, they were about a $50 million company at that point. They were fairly new. And I was with that next company through the height of their tremendous expansion. In fact, we went from $50 million to $800 million in about 3 years. At the point that we did that, we were certainly receiving all kinds of awards and accolades at the time that I was with that company, did a lot of the similar coordination roles, leadership roles, focused heavily in the service and support areas with communication and the IT department, customer, you know, quality assurance and IT. And it was at that point and at that company that I met a friend of mine named Jerem Webb. And Jerem and I worked together at that company for a couple of years and got to be very acquainted. And I was fortunate to be in a number of settings. When you go from $50 million to $800 million, you have a lot of opportunity to make great choices and a lot of opportunity to make some not so great choices. And I can tell you that in all of the time that I worked with Jerem, he always made great choices. He always made choices that were going to benefit and keep the company safe and strong. And I appreciated that about him. I appreciated that he was willing to stand up in a setting of his peers and his supervisors and say, you know what, I think that direction could get, you know, could put the company at risk, and let me show you why. So I always had this deep appreciation for Jerem's business acumen, but a deeper appreciation for his integrity level. Well, I remember one day I was in my office. Somebody had walked in just arbitrarily and something, and then off the cuff they made a comment about, hey, did you hear Jerem's leaving? And my stomach just sank. And I ran upstairs, and by run I mean I took the elevator nine floors. And I got to his office, and I literally flung the door open. A couple people were in there, and I looked at him and I said, "Is it true?" And he knew instantly what I was talking about. He said, "Yeah, I've been meaning to talk to you about that." So I said, "Well, come down and visit." Well, before he had a chance to kind of share where he was going, what he was doing, I was actually on the next plane out to Seoul, South Korea. And I spent a little while out in South Korea working for this company as they were opening that market. And he called me. And he called me about 3 o'clock in the morning, by the way, because he didn't know I was out of the country. And he said, "Hey, you know, we didn't get a chance to catch up before I left. Everything's happened so quickly, but I started at this little company, Karen, and I really think that you need to come and meet this team." And there was something about the way that he said that to me. There was something about the way that he introduced the idea to me that really kind of stuck in my head. And so when I got home, I made an appointment with him and came into the ASEA offices to meet the team. At that time, there were about 20 people that worked for the company. I had a chance to sit down with Justin Wilson, who's currently the regional VP over in Europe. I had a chance to sit down with our founders, Jim Pack and Burtis Norton. I had a chance to sit down and visit with a number of the other team members that were there at the time. And one thing became very clear to me, and that was I had a decision that I needed to make. And it was not going to be an easy decision because at the point that had been introduced to my life, things did not suck for me in my life. I had what most people would look at and say a great job. I had a great opportunity for, collecting a check at that point. And I know that sounds silly, but that's really what it had become. And so even though my heart was no longer in a place where I felt passionate about what I was doing, I had worked very hard. I had struggled a lot in my life. I was a single parent. And, you know, at some points that was really tough. You know, at some points, I was going to the grocery store at midnight because I had so many coupons and food stamps that I didn't want my neighbors and anybody to see me. I didn't want the opportunity to run into somebody I knew. I had struggled quite a bit financially. I had gone through a rotten divorce. And so here I was faced with a challenge. I was faced with a decision. Do I leave a company that at that point was doing $800 million? I was managing a team of 150-plus service and support agents. I had enough money to pay my bills, and I had some left over. My daughter was a junior in high school, a senior in high school, getting ready to go off to college. And the problem was I couldn't walk away from the people that I had met that day. I spent an afternoon meeting the people that would literally change my life. And I didn't think that my life sucked so hard. At that point, I didn't think things were horrible, right? And so walking away from those offices a couple of times, I could not shake the fact that this is something I knew I had to do, but that I knew that it was going to be very, very difficult. But that's how I got to where I was at that point. And to be honest, I did a lot of soul searching. I did a lot of introspective thinking and Justin called one day and said, hey, have you made a decision? I said, I need a couple more days. So I called him that Monday, and he picked up the phone, and all I said was, hey, Justin, it's Karen. I'm in. Justin, I said, I'm all in. And he was pretty excited, and we got the show on the road at that point. So I came in, and I was the 23rd employee that was hired here at the company. It's been almost 6 years. And, I mentioned earlier that one of the things that attracted me so much to this industry, when it's done right, is what I said, and I don't know if you caught that, but when it's done right, the ability for the ideas for Believe, Belong, Become are incredibly powerful. You know, 2015 has been an incredibly powerful year for ASEA. Been another year of growth, plain and simple. For most companies in our industry, they suffered losses for a number of reasons. Some of them are across the board, right? We all faced a very strong U.S. dollar internationally that hurt many, many companies that do business overseas. And even with some of those challenges, we were profitable. We grew. Volume to volume, we grew more than 10% this year. And we had some, additional challenges just internally. Everybody has, when you run an organization that's made up of people, even a profitable company with people is going to still have challenges. But one of the things that I have loved in 2015 for me personally was the extensive travel. I spent more than 200 nights in hotels this year. And some people would hear that and either, be in shock and awe or be excited for the vacation. But one of the things that I often get asked when I travel is, don't you get tired? How do you do it and how do you keep going? And the truth is, without exaggeration, for me, being on the road is energizing. Being on the road is the peak of my prime focus and energy, right? It's the opportunity for me to absolutely look eye to eye with the people that share this goal, people that share this mission, leaders who can gather a group of people who will together struggle for the vision. And at ASEA, that's why I do what I do here at ASEA, is because the opportunity to believe, belong, and become doesn't happen on the road one time. It happens every time. It happens at every event. Some are more powerful than others. But the necessity for me to be at every event is the reason that I can do what I do. Because every time I go to an event, it recommits me to this business. It reconfirms what I know to be true. And we all need confirmation. We all need to be surrounded with people who want us all to become better. And that's one of the things I look forward to in 2016, as we have just finished up a near 3-month planning process developed by Virtus called Strategic Link. We go through a strat plan every year for 2016 as a company, and we've just finished it. And as we have laid out our 5 key strategies for the year, and again, one of them is field-focused, and it's field development, you know, and all of these things that fall in line under that. I'm so excited to be part of that as we go into 2016. 2016 for this company is going to be different than anything we've seen. It's going to be different than the year that we introduced Renew. It's going to be different than the year that we introduced ABC and Genie. It's going to be different than the year we migrated IT platforms. It's going to be different than anything we have ever seen. And it's going to be better. It's going to be bigger. It's going to offer our associates more opportunities to believe, belong, and become. And what I love about what we have done here at ASEA and what we will do in 2016 is that it meets you where you are and takes you where you want to be. It doesn't say you can't play until you reach a certain point. It says, where are you today and where do you want to go? And we've got all of the pieces that are going to get you where you want to go from where you are today. But people have to come with a desire to get there. One of my most favored messages that this company has ever produced, that Tyler Norton has delivered, is the 60s. If you're not familiar with those, they start with desire. They move into decision. And then you declare it. Then you devote your time to developing it. Then you develop the skills necessary, and then you deliver and execute on that desire. That message has been so powerful in my life and can be the same in yours if you will really study the principles surrounding the 60s and recognize how they fit into your 2016 goals and how they fit into meeting you where you are and taking you where you want to be. I have zero hesitation in telling you that 2016 for this company is a turning point. It's a tipping point for this company. There is no doubt about it for me. There is no doubt about it for our CEO, Chuck. There is no doubt about it for our president, Jerem Webb. And there's certainly no doubt, in fact, only more vision behind those statements from our founders, Virtus and Tyler. And so it's an absolute honor to have spent the better part of 20 years working in this industry and to have seen what I have seen and to now have what I have here at ASEA, to recognize the opportunity that this company brings about to each and every one of you. And my deepest, deepest gratitude for being even a sliver of that ability to be part of this journey with you, right? Because for me, it's all about and has been all about my journey It's been about embracing and overcoming the struggles and actually looking forward to the opportunities to struggle with some of the most incredible people I have ever met. We did an ascent trip 2 years ago, and as we were walking through this salt flats, I was overcome with the fact that the people that are involved with ASEA, a product made from salt and water, were literally people that I consider to be the salt of the earth. The gift and miracle that you bring and share with people with this product, with this opportunity, to me, is like angels singing. So, Terry, thank you so much for letting me share a little bit about my journey with ASEA, what it has meant to me over the last few years and what I know it can mean to me over the next few years is almost unspeakable. I feel so deeply committed to this cause and to this company, but to most of all the people that make up this organization. I cannot imagine how exciting it's getting for everyone who really harnesses the ability to focus on the 60s and make some decisions this year in 2016 to let us meet them where they are and take them where they need to be. So thanks so much, Terry.
You know, Karen, real quick, there's what I want to make clear to everybody. You were part of two companies before they were massive, before they went through their billion-dollar hit, and you experienced from what it was before and to where it was after. And I want to make sure everybody caught the fact that you're sitting in a situation that your daughter is getting to a point where she's about to graduate. You're having a great income with the company, and most people out there work for money to get to a point they can maybe live in the golden year, whatever they want, how they want to refer to it as. They're comfortable. And yet you came to ASEA and you met some people with the vision of something bigger, let's put it that way. But real quick, because, you know, in 2014 we did around $70 million in sales, and we've experienced some nice growth last year. We've got extensive plans for the years to come. With what you've been a part of in this industry and with where we are now, for the new people listening in, you know, we have people listening that love and believe the product. And I always try to teach people it's not too difficult to believe in that stuff. Just drink it or wipe it. And you have an experience of the product. But sometimes people go through a struggling time. And the only thing is that's really difficult, what I believe in this business, it's so simple, we overcomplicate it. And because it's so simple in our mind, it should be so simple for people to catch it, but we don't understand that those people, as we first saw it, it was still salt and water, but it's educational phase. And what I love, what I believe is Paul Zane Pilzer says, we're an intellectual distribution where we educate people to a point to make an educated decision. So where we are today, I think you, as an executive of the company, could express it probably more than anybody, because you've experienced it. Where do you see us? I mean, you said something to me, and I've been in the industry for a while. Well, for me, it was pretty profound, but also very vision-drawing for myself. And you said to me, are you ready for this? And don't let the money get in the way. And, you know, there's a lot of things that I think is pretty profound about that, because we talk about NFL, our professional sports players. They get caught up in things hit so fast, and I don't think people realize how fast money can come in this industry for people to pay a price. But when you said that, I know you see things that on a corporate side that sometimes people in the field don't see. Can you talk about that for a second? Where do you see this thing? I mean, you kind of expressed it in 2016 would be great, but where do you see this in the next few years? From what you've experienced in the past, where do you see this?
Well, thanks. It's interesting. I have seen a lot of interesting things over the last 20 years with when this kind of money gets involved, right? And I don't think that I would have an air of caution if I hadn't seen people do, you know, great things and not so great things when this journey becomes more than they ever anticipated. So one of the things I always like to say is, make sure you're dreaming bigger than you're dreaming, because we're going to overcome and surpass everything that you dream about today. As far as revenue for this company, I think 2016 will bring about not only another double-digit year of growth, but I do think that 2016 has an opportunity to bring us to the point of tipping into a momentum period. You know, and it's an interesting dynamic. Excuse me. It's an interesting dynamic because you can't necessarily predict momentum, but you can visualize it and you can recognize all of the strategic pieces being put into place. And you can say, you know, if this hits, you can try and plan for it. But the truth is, most of it is based on an overwhelming surge of excitement from those that are currently involved. And as I have seen our company and our associates, and I recognize what we are dropping into the field this year, there is every single possibility that we will hit 100 million in 2016. It's absolutely possible. I don't have any doubt that, and that's kind of this magical number in our industry, right? And if we don't hit it, or we'll be scaring it, in my opinion. We'll be face to face with it. And at that point, I think you start to see some exponential growth opportunities. And the thing that I love about where ASEA is right now is that the income is in direct relation to the efforts put prior, right? Nobody has walked into ASEA's offices and not struggled to get the income that they're making. And it's an exciting opportunity to see that twist, that turn, that tip in people's eyes and in their pocketbooks at the same time, where they are able to go into holiday seasons without feeling like they can't do what they need to be doing or want to be doing. For our company this year, again, you know, it's very clear to me that 2016 is a tipping point for this company. With the people that have been in place, with the opportunities that would be dropped into place, the journey changes this year for people who are willing to move. The journey changes this year for people. And again, it almost leaves me speechless when I think about what that means to so many who have struggled. Doesn't mean the struggle's over. It means the journey changes.
Be prepared.
What?
Yeah, I said be for those who want it. Be prepared. Hey, by the way, and on the tail end of this thing, we have regionals coming up, and you and I are talking about that, and you have me pretty fired up for certain things that we have planned for these regionals. Those people who are really listening, I mean, what do you feel like is the important thing coming into the new year as they come to regionals? What should they expect to experience at regionals?
Well, you know, regionals, that's one of the things that I love about our events, is that, you know, from a 30,000-foot level, we really put together, an event program that offers every single person the opportunity to walk away with the next step, right? Now, whether that next step is a nuts and bolts piece, right? It's a nut that fits here. It's a bolt that fits there. You know, it's an add-on to what they're currently doing. Or whether that next piece is a deeper conviction in something, whether it's the product, whether it's themselves, right? Whether it's the company, whether it's the industry. Yeah, these events take you to that next step if you have your steps, if you know where you are in your stepping program, if you know where you are in your goals, right? You are able to walk away from these regional events with a clear mindset and a clear tool set for where you want to go at the next step, right? Because you can walk into a regional and, you know, in January and say, I want to be a triple diamond. But you have to be a double diamond before that. You have to be a diamond before that. You have to be a platinum before that. You have to be a silver or gold before that, and you have to be a silver. You have to be a bronze. You've got to hit director 700. You've got to hit director 300. These are all steps, right? I mean, we lots of times we get caught up in the ranks and the leadership and the this and the that. But you know what? This is just super easy for me. This is a roadmap. Turn left, you're at director. Turn right, you're at director 300. Turn left, you go to director 700. This is a roadmap. It is a step-by-step guide to getting you to where you want to be, whether that's complete financial freedom at Triple Diamond, getting paid regularly at Triple Diamond, or the new ranks, you know, whenever, wherever those are. This is a step-by-step process. And coming to regionals, you get to plug in those pieces. For me, again, regionals is, you know, it's always, well, the tools or, you know, the announcements, those kinds of things, those are all fun. For me, that's all icing on the cake. The truth is I always come back to the very first convention I ever went to. Struggling single mom, a room of 5,000 people, and I felt like I belonged there. I felt like I had a community of people that were going to support me to get me where I wanted to go next. For me, regionals is not only the nuts and bolts, but it's an opportunity to put yourself in the right position with the right people. Your life today is a result of your circle of influence, the people that you associate with on an everyday basis, the books you listen to, the books you read, the programs you watch, and the events you attend. If you put yourself in the position and you surround yourself with the people that are going to help you on your journey, the only reason you fail is because your desire to get there and your why was not quite strong enough. And you can come to every single event and reconfirm and recommit to that why. That's the biggest part for me, is that regionals recommit and reconfirm for me the vision of what we have in our hands, the vision of what this company is doing today that will lead to legacy opportunities tomorrow. So, of course, you know, regionals, are you kidding? You got to go. You got to be there. You got to get your team there. You know what, Terry, I know this is weird, but it's almost frustrating for me when people question whether or not they should come. It's almost frustrating because I just want to, it doesn't make me angry, it just makes me frustrated because I feel like, oh, man, you know what, if I haven't done a good enough job preparing you for the opportunities that this event will open up for your life, I kind of get down on myself. You know, I kind of get frustrated with myself. I'm like, I'm not finding the words. I'm not finding the emotion. I'm not finding that commitment. I'm not finding that connection. I have got to dig deeper to help people recognize that this is not in question.
You know, you've hit some things, especially, yeah, I think the big, you know, coming into the regional event, it was 3 years ago for me, February, the first event I went to, a C event, and it was a regional. And, look, I was already in. I was committed. I was lit on fire. I was going. Excited. I mean, all of the above. Didn't want to go because I felt like I needed to be home doing the things I needed to do to do the work. And I have experience in this industry. And it was almost a fatal flaw. But I had people going, so I went anyway. And going there, I reconnected to the whole thing that's important about this business. It revolves around events. It's the simple things to do. It's also the simple things not to do that make you successful or not successful in this business. And when I went to that event, it's when I got connected and started to understand more the heart center and the ethos of this company. And you can't put it in words. When we speak of believe, belong, become, when you see what you feel the product what does to you at home, does to your family members, friends around you, that's one piece of it. But the bigger piece is when you start. And the only way you'll ever feel it is about around being around other people from other parts of the country, especially for the regionals. But you also start to catch the wave at that time, which just is designed to pull you through from that event to the next event to the next event. And if you plug in and you stay plugged in, you'll find yourself on the top of success, whatever that is for you. And it's different for everybody else. Never compare yourself to other people's successes, because maybe you don't have enough drive like they do. Maybe you're, you don't know their circumstances compared to yours. You don't know their credibility compared to yours. You don't know their financial, where everything could be different. But everybody's walk will be different, but everybody's success can be the same if you so choose. So, Karen, thanks for being a part of the call tonight. You got me all lit on fire and, you know, coming into the Christmas holiday season. It's a time of people, guys, you've got to think about this. It's a double-edged sword in network marketing. You can find yourself beating yourself up for the things you don't do because it always kind of sticks in your mind because it's your dreams and what you feel like you need to do. And the thing is, always drive forward. And for me, we're working as hard today as we have been in the past, and a lot of times even harder. We will find time to definitely shut the engines off, to reflect and look back, to enjoy, and also to take into heart for where we are at this moment. But never to make any mistake about it. There's always a price to be paid, and I think Karen nailed it on the head today. You'll get to a point that you can shut those engines off earlier. Depends where you want to be. If everybody's willing to pay the price. So as we go into the new year, also I want to encourage everybody to start writing down your goals. Be prepared for that as we come in to the new year. Don't come in flat-footed, and make plans right now to register for the regionals to wherever it was closest to you. We're down in Austin. They're going to be in Vegas. They're going to be in Washington. I know we're in Chicago, Pennsylvania, also North Carolina. So make sure you get registered for those as soon as you possibly can. Like now, don't drag your feet, and it's easier to drive people to it. Now, Karen, as we close out, is there anything you want to share as we start to close out tonight's call?
No, other than just, you know, my deepest gratitude for a fantastic year at 2015. Of course, a huge thanks to Terry for all he's done. most of you don't recognize the humility that Terry has when someone gives him a compliment, but the truth is this company would look very different without Terry Latham, and I'm very grateful for him and for all that he has done for this company by introducing so many people that are and continue to be the salt of the earth. Deepest gratitude for our founders for having the vision and the constitution, the emotional constitution, to do what they did 7 years ago that gave us this opportunity today. And a deep gratitude for all of my coworkers in the corporate office who continue on a daily basis to put this company in a position for success when all around the world, everywhere around the world, whatever you're doing, whatever type of work, people make decisions that hurt so many. I'm so deeply grateful at the close of this year to work with people that I absolutely rely on will always make the right decision. We are in good hands. And with your help and with your continued conviction as an ASEA community, 2016 has the potential to change your life in ways that you had not even dreamed. So dream bigger. You guys, 2016 is the year to dream bigger.
I love it. Karen, you have a great Christmas. I'm sure I'll talk to you tomorrow. Guys, get this out to your teams as soon as you possibly can. It will be recorded up for the next 7 days. Big news coming in within the next couple weeks. Stay tuned. Y'all have a great ASEA week. See you soon. Thanks.
Happy holidays, everybody. Thanks, Terry.